Hi, I'm Rabbi Dr. Aryeh Cohen, Associate Professor of Rabbinic Literature at the Ziegler School for Rabbinic Studies at the American Jewish University in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Chodesh Tov, which this is a part of, is a monthly 10-minute podcast that is a joint venture for the Schechter Rabbinical School in Jerusalem, the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies in Los Angeles, the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, and the International Rabbinic Assembly. The purpose of these podcasts is to regularly inform rabbis of the most current thinking in a wide variety of fields of Jewish studies. Currently, I'm working on a project which came out of a previous project, and I'll just talk for a couple minutes about that. The previous project will appear as an essay called Milchamta Shel Torah, The War of Torah, An Essay on Epistemological Violence. And that project came out of noticing a while back that there was a lot of violence in describing the study of Torah in the Bavli, especially, but not only in the Bavli. And I try to understand and make sense of some of this violence, some of these, especially the long sugya in Shabbat, which had the famous image of God holding Sinai over Israel and telling them if they don't accept the Torah, they will die. But there were other around that shorter pieces there and elsewhere in which violence between sages, violence between sages and others, even the very notion that the study of Torah is called Milchamta Shel Torah, the War of Torah, is itself interesting to me. And I proposed that it's because of the fact that the very notion of a divine Torah being studied by, imbibed, assimilated by human beings was an act of epistemological violence in a very scandal. The very scandalousness of a divine knowledge being understood by a human intellect, and that was generated all these notions of violence and the conceptual vocabulary of violence in talking about the study of Torah. As I was doing that, I noticed that there were actually two different strains in the way that the rabbis in both the Bavli and the Mishnah, describe the transmission of Torah study. And I thought that that was interesting. And I then thought of these strains as the Paulinian and Matthean moments in Rabbinic Judaism. And that's the current project, which I'm going to deliver as a paper at the upcoming Association for Jewish Studies conference, and then will become a longer essay. So much has been written about the succession list at the beginning of Avot, and its comparison with Christian succession lists. It has been suggested that the Avot list influenced the Christian list, that the Christian list influenced the Avot list, that both Tannaic Judaism and early Christianity drew the list rhetoric from their shared Jewish heritage, or that both discourses were influenced by the Hellenistic philosophical culture in which they were embedded. The historical meaning of the Avot list is also up for grabs. Shai Cohen has suggested that despite the fact that the rabbis were not faced by, or at least didn't name, organized sects, he maintains that Avot and the apostolic successions authenticated orthodoxy by appealing, quote, to an accurate tradition from within the foundation of the faith. At the same time, Cohen believes that it is a relic of Judaism's sectarian past, which was abandoned by the time of the Mishnah. Daniel Bayaran claims that Avot helped invent the discourse of rabbinic ecclesiology and laid the rhetorical groundwork for the eventual domination of rabbinic Judaism. Amram Trapper recently distinguished between the Avot list and Christian discourses of succession in the greater weight attributed to ecclesiology and polemics in the Christian context, as compared to the Tannaitic context, may be in no small part a result of the differing social structures of the two movements. Whereas the early church fathers were religious leaders, seeking to maintain their communities and to convert others, the sages of the Tannaitic period flourished in disciple circles and were occupied with studying Torah. Adam Becker, in his recent study of the Christian Academy of Nisibis, which is the same as the Babylonian Talmudic city of Nitzivin, analyzed the genre of scholastic succession writing, known as the quote-unquote cause genre, specifically the text, Cause of the Foundations of the Schools. For the cause, the authentic human being, as depicted repeatedly through the course of the text, is he who receives learning from his master and employs his reason to discern the signs of the Creator in both Scripture and nature. According to Becker, a vote and the cause are clearly comparable as academic chains of transmission, with an apologetic function for those who stand as receptors at the end of the line of transmission. All this is well and good. However, in this paper, I will argue that this only tells half the story. The succession list discourse, as exemplified in Avot, in which the quote-unquote reception, or the Kabbalah of Torah, from a master in an orderly and institutional setting, wherein the student employs his reason to understand and to add onto the corpus of Torah that he received from his master, stands in dialectic tension with the other moment of rabbinic study. And it should be noted that the Kabbalah, as in Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, that form of transmission, that verb of transmission, is the verb that is used in the Syriac of the cause literature, Kabbalah, the same exact root and the same exact word. Through a close analysis of the Agadic Sugya in Bavli Shabbat 88a, 89a, and the contrast between the Palestinian, mainly Tanaitic sources, and the Babylonian sources, I will describe the second existential moment, which I refer to as the Paulinian moment. Whereas Matthew's Gospel, as also the other synoptics, are interested in the genealogy of Jesus and the stories of his life and his students, and this leads to the grounding of an authoritative tradition, Paul, in, for example, Galatians, was not interested in the life of Jesus or his ancestry, but is solely interested in the moment of crucifixion. This is Paul's existential drama on the way to Damascus. I will argue that in dialectic tension with the discourse of the successionists, there is also a Paulinian moment of existential receiving, Kabbalah, of Torah, a Sinai moment which is experienced by the individual sage rather than the Torah received from a master. The placid description of the transmission of Torah from God to Moses to Joshua and onto the sages from generation to generation does, as is argued by many scholars, strengthen institutional authority and might create the foundation for a heresiology. This transmission is mirrored in the Bavli Shabbat Sugya, in the texts which glowingly talk of Sinai as a moment of rapture between God and Israel. On the other side are the Babylonian Amoraic sources, which are violent and existential and represent the immediacy of the non-mediated reception of Torah by that sage at that moment.